Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour, new week. Glad you're with us. Bob, Kelly, and Dima, we're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio right here in Hattiesburg. We're glad you're with us. Going to be talking to Chris Croft a little later in the program. He's conducting classes to teach people about football, huh, Center?
Well, you know, lots of times people will go to the games and not really know what the official hand signals mean, or, you know, some of the different rules, the rule changes and things like that. And so it can be a beginner course for people that just want to learn more about the rules of football, and a refresher course for maybe some of the folks that want to get up to date.
All right, Bob Chesney is the head football coach at JMU, James Madison University. Came there from Holy Cross. Going to be hearing from him later in the show as well. But let's get things started. First of all, Southern Bancorp Studio, that's where we're broadcasting from. Dickey's Barbecue sponsors the opening segment of our program every day, and we appreciate all they do. Great place to cater your first homecoming event this year, or your first tailgate, great place to call.
And you don't need to get a loan from the bank to pay for it.
No, and the food will always be good. All right, our man Dima, back at football practice this morning. Before we get to these sound bites, give us a rundown of what you saw, Dima.
Yeah, so I'll give you Saturday kind of to set up today. So Saturday, obviously, they moved the practice time back an hour because of the heat, and I thought that was the offense's best day of fall camp by far. You had Rodemaker, Crawford, both of them exceptional, the offensive line exceptional. I thought the offense took a step back today, which is to be expected in fall camp. You're going to have some good days, some bad days, and I thought the offense took kind of a step back today, and the defense really stepped it up today. And I'm going to start with the secondary, and man, I mean, Southern Miss fans, you might have forgotten how just talented the secondary is, because you haven't seen it. Before the South Alabama game of last season, that was really the only time that secondary was ever healthy, and it really showed in that South Alabama game. The secondary, you had two interceptions from them. One was a pick six. You probably should have had four. Two of them were dropped. And so the secondary coming into fruition there, and Will Hall talked about that in his post-game interview, which we'll fix and listen to a soundbite from that. But I thought Chandler Pittman really looked exceptionally well today as well. He had two, not one, but two circus one-handed catches in the back of the end zone, both of them one-handed catches. If you're on Twitter or social media sometime this afternoon, I have it from a source that they will be posted to Twitter later, so be looking for those. But I thought that Tate Rodemaker probably had one of his worst days of fall camp so far. Didn't ever look in sync. Didn't ever look in turn with his passers. He threw an interception. He should have thrown three interceptions, actually. Two of them were dropped, and these were all consecutive passes. Just never in line. Ethan Crawford kind of had a slow day as well. He had a pretty nice play where he went to a read screen, but it wasn't there. He rolled out to his right and found Larry Simmons kind of falling down on a third down play, and that was a first down. So not the best day from the offense, but a better day from the secondary. And I thought Chandler Pittman is really coming into a role in that slot receiver job. And this was Will Hall's thoughts on Chandler Pittman after practice.
You guys. He is. You know, him and Ty Mims are both really good. They complement each other real well. Ty's obviously going to be a factor at punt returner and some things in special teams. Chandler's going to be a factor in all of our special teams. So they're going to be able to really spell each other, complement each other, and they both can play. They're both great kids that have played a lot of football. You know, so that's an advantage to have both of them in that spot.
And he's talking about Ty and Chandler because they both play that slot position. You know, you're used to seeing Chandler Pittman in like the super back running back, but they moved him to slot receiver to kind of help out Ty Mims there. But here's Will Hall in the secondary play today.
You know, a lot of really good, highly recruited players, Andrew, you know, and because we had to get through spring ball, we kind of had to oversign there for 1 year because we had so many people coming off injury and now they're back. So we're really deep there. Great competition, which is also going to help our special teams. But you're talking about a lot of ACC transfers, a lot of highly recruited junior college and high school players. And so it's fun to watch. Boy, I think they're communicating. You know, you can hear the communication back there on another level from last year. That's the big thing that I've noticed. The level of communication, the clearness of, we talk all the time, you know, communication that is not heard or understood is not communication. That's just mama, that's baby talk, you know. So, but they're truly transporting words from them to others now in a way, from a loudness standpoint and a clearness standpoint.
And so that was him talking about the secondary. And, you know, Chandler Pittman obviously has been here for several years now, and this is kind of his first time to see that secondary at work. And here was his thoughts on that, on the secondary.
Me personally, I was in the backfield a little bit. Man, physical guy. That's what Nasty Bunch stands for. You know, we physical, we bring it. And that's what they do every day, man. 17 and Jay Jones, Dylan Lawrence, you know, Jacob Johnson, all the guys, man. I don't want to leave anybody out, but, you know, Hayes Puckett as well. You know, them guys getting in there, they fly around, man. It's good to go against the guys in one-on-one, the team pre, you know, get a little cracking, get a little blocking going on. So it's good, man. Them guys are nasty, you know. They force us to bring it as well, you know what I'm saying?
And then here were his thoughts, final clip here, his thoughts on his new role in the offense under Chip Long.
Me personally, I was in the backfield a little bit, super back and running back last year. So schematically, the receiver-wise, you know, I feel like, you know, it's just a lot of opportunities for each receiver in position. You know, everybody can get a chance to go vertical, you know what I'm saying? That's what everybody wants to do, score touchdowns. You know, we'll get it out to our playmakers quick if we need to. Man, it's just an all-around, balanced, great scheme, I feel like, and I feel like it'll help us in the fall, man, win some games for sure.
So there's your report on practice this morning.
All right. So you hadn't said anything about defensively. They look, I think we think that's probably the strength of the team there, correct?
Yeah. Well, I was talking about the secondary, but yeah, the defensive line, right, for right, sure. Right. You know, they're looking good. Christian Booth, I thought today, exceptionally had a good day. And then one thing I really like about Christian Booth is, and he kind of flies under the radar under Jalen Williams and Jaleel Clemens, but Christian Booth, always communicating. I noticed one part, and they took a break, and he was sitting over with the defensive lineman. They were going back to practice, and he said, "Y'all come back, pick up your trash. There's a trash can right here." So it's a lot of no joking around. Very serious team. There's not any lot of jokes on the practice field. It's a very serious, focused group.
This team has nothing to lose,
right?
I mean, they really don't, because even though we've talked about all these preseason projections are for entertainment and all that sort of thing, nobody really has any basis as to why they feel that they're putting teams where they belong. And Bob Chesney, you know, we talked to him, the coach at James Madison. This guy's a brand new coach with a brand new team, and yet everybody expects them to finish second in the East. And you're just going, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But the one thing that Southern Miss does have going for it is, based on those expectations, they have a right and an opportunity to prove everybody wrong. And, man, I don't think I've ever pulled as hard for a group of guys to prove people wrong going into this year.
Demon, what's your impression about the quarterback play? I mean, Rodemaker, he's going to start, correct?
I don't know. I mean, if I was saying from today, no chance. But, you know, you're going to have some
one
of those
day,
Yeah. So you're going to have some of those good days, bad days. I mean, I think as far as the scheme of the offense, he's the better option. But if it was me personally, I would rather have Ethan Crawford start, and I've said that all spring, all fall, just because of the element that he brings with his running game. But I still think it's a very close battle. I don't think anybody's for sure getting the starting job. And the argument, you know, is made that, well, you bring him a Power 5 player in here, it obviously seems like he would start. Will Hall just doesn't think that way. You know, he might think that at the back of his head and make sense that way, but he goes every position. I mean, I think of like Nunnery and Will Saxton. Will Saxton, offensive lineman, starting last year. Nunnery has been taking all the first team reps. So he doesn't think that way. So I wouldn't put that in your forefront of your mind. It's really based on who wins the spring and the fall.
Can we all agree that the first four games are absolutely crucial? I just think you know, looking at the season as a whole, You got to come out of that 2-2 minimum, 2-2.
No doubt. And I would think, looking at the schedule, the first one that can really be a legitimate litmus test will be the South Florida game.
The Bulls.
Which is third on the schedule, because you're going up to SEC country in game one. You're going to be the prohibitive underdog. Then you come back to a team out of the Southland Conference, which you should beat, you know, easily on the other side of the coin, you would think. So then the third one, you know, with South Florida, that's going to be
the one, tough too, man, where the
teams are more equally, you know, talented.
It's a very similar schedule to last season, where you had that first game against Alcorn State that, you know, everybody expected to win. Then you went to the number three team in the country, Florida State. Nobody expected you to win that game. You come home to play Tulane in a more competitive game. And you saw how much the season turned after that game. They lost to Tulane 21-3. The season changed after that.
Right.
So you're right. The USF game, huge for the trajectory of the season, and then the Jacksonville State game the next week.
And keep in mind, South Florida comes from a huge state, enormous talent in that state. That's a huge university.
And they're going to be better.
That's the biggest school in Florida, I believe.
Central Florida.
Central Florida, that's right.
And that game that Dima was talking about, the Tulane game, is when the floodgate of injuries started to happen, too, the third game of last year.
And they tackled tomorrow, so they start tackling tomorrow in practice.
All right, good. All right, well, Bob Chesney is the head football coach at James Madison University. He'll be on the show in a bit. But next, we're going to bring in Chris Croft. Just in case you don't know the rules of football, he's going to tell you how you can learn. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob Kelly and Dima, we're glad you're with us. This segment of the show is sponsored by Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net. Miss Kathleen, the best, greatest selection of Southern Miss apparel on the planet. Football, baseball, basketball, you name it. Summer stuff, fall stuff's arriving. And if you can't make it in person, just go to campusbookmart.net, and they'll deliver everything right to your front door. Don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, and many of you tune in that way, and we're grateful to you for that. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, tune in, or you can just tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Still to come, James Madison head coach Bob Chesney on the Eagle Hour, but right now we welcome Mr. Chris Croft into the studio. And Kelly, I'll let you take this away.
Chris Croft is the Associate Professor of Sports Management on the Southern Miss campus, formerly an assistant basketball coach for Doc Sadler, and helping the OLLI, which is the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, which is on campus to really make classes, if you will, available to older citizens who might want to have something to do. Hattiesburg, one of the top retirement communities in the country. So this is a way that our older residents, Bob, you and I, like it or not, are part of that community. And on August 22nd, that's a Thursday, by the way, on Thursday, August 22nd at 2 p.m. at 3601 Pearl Street, a free and open to the public seminar will be held, a USM football preview. And we welcome you, Dr. Croft. Good to have you here.
Yeah, Bob, Kelly, really appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk a little bit about this project. And I'm really grateful for the Osher Lifelong Learning. Paula Mathis kind of helped coordinate this deal. And just wanted kind of a great opportunity to kick off. It's on purpose the week before the first game against Kentucky, on purpose and everything there, to kind of give a preview to some Southern Miss fans about the season, a little bit of tidbits and different things, kind of a little bit different than they hear from the coaches or media people people like Dima and everything.
And no secret that a growing part of the Hattiesburg population is the retirement crowd, because it is just about every publication lists Hattiesburg because of its medical facilities and things like that as one of the top places to retire.
No doubt. Great place. We know it's a hub city with our location. Great weather here. Obviously, you got to have AC right now, but we don't have the cold winters and all the snow and everything. So huge draw. Obviously, do a lot of different things in their program. You can go online and check them out just at ollie@usm.edu. They have all kind of programs from classes and seminars. They do some day-long overnight field trips, all kind of different special activities. So they'll have some stuff announced here pretty shortly for the fall semester. It's a small fee to join to be a member, and then you're able to go and attend any of the events. A lot of them are face-to-face, as this one is. A lot of them sometimes are virtual as well.
And again, that online address is Ollie, O-L-L-I. OLLI@USM.edu. So let's talk now, Dr. Croft, about the football preview. I know a couple of the players are actually going to be there to help out.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. Coach Reed Stringer, assistant football coach, has assisted us. And Hayes Puckett, obviously defensive back from Madison, Mississippi. Also Chandler Pittman, running back from McGee, Mississippi. They're scheduled to be there, pending their schedule. And just want to get them in front of the people that are there. Obviously a little preview on the season, but people want to hear from players. So kind of get a chance for the players to tell a little bit about, talk about the summer workouts, talk about the fall camp. We know, unfortunately, they've had some unfortunate things they had to deal with off the field as well and everything. But just talk about the build-up of the season, all the excitement going into the Kentucky game, obviously as we move forward to the Sun Belt Conference and as they try to pursue and chase getting to a bowl game.
It's one thing for people to go to the games. It's another thing for them to be engaged. And part of the way they can do that is to learn about rule changes, learn about hand signals that officials go through, kind of talk about some of the things that you guys are going to talk about that day, Thursday, August 22nd at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, we just want to talk about, obviously, there's a lot of rule changes last year. There's a few more this year, but obviously it changed a lot. You know, the biggest one last year was the clock wasn't stopping on first down as it normally did. Well, obviously changes strategy. Demas here knows this too. If you're down 10 points in the fourth quarter with 10 minutes to go and you're driving to score, I'm not saying you got to go to a hurry up. I'm a basketball guy, hurry up, but you got to be moving pretty quick because that's not as much time as you normally have. So we're going to talk about some of those things, some of the different signals. Obviously, targeting is a huge thing right now you're dealing with. A lot of times players don't try to do it, but it happens. Talk about kind of how that rule works and everything. So I think it'll be really good when we have Hayes and Chandler there to talk about some different things of how they go through that and how the coaches help train them to learn the rules, but also use the rules to your advantage with everything going on to try to get an advantage to win a game.
One of the things that's interesting to me is I'll talk to women, those that will allow me to talk to them.
Very few.
Yeah. And one of the common pieces of feedback is of all the sports, the big three especially, football, basketball, and baseball, football is the one, generally speaking here, that women understand the least. Obviously, I'm guessing that's part of the reasons that the idea was born, hey, let's have an event like this.
Yeah, and it's open to everyone, though. It's open to males and obviously females as well. But we all know football is a huge part of American sport. Obviously, you know the NFL, the pro game, does such a phenomenal job. And obviously, 40% stats are showing over 40% of NFL fans are female. So female football is very popular. A lot of females like the football. Maybe some of them kind of gravitated to liking it because their husbands or kids play and go to the game. And we all know who doesn't like doing the tailgate, going to the stadium and doing all the fun stuff. So we just want to educate them on some things about the team, talk about the preview, obviously big build-up, getting to play Kentucky off the bat. Obviously got some huge non-conference games before you get into conference play, which is obviously what it's all about. And, you know, keep pursuing to get toward the bowl game, go win it, kind of get us back on track. But hear it from the players, which is not always. We're really appreciative of Coach Hall and Coach Stringer for allowing these guys to get out there to talk.
Is there limited seating in this event, Chris, or how do people?
They haven't controlled that yet right now. So as you say, you build it and they'll come. So plenty of room. They can just call the number there or email, go online and can sign up. They're keeping it open right now. It may get to that point at a time, but we're not there yet. But be a great chance to get out there. It's a good time, 2 o'clock, 2 to 3 o'clock. It'll be short and sweet, but very informative just to get the players in front of some fans where they get to hear them and get ready for the next week going to Kentucky.
Of course, all of these programs that Ollie presents have to be approved. And normally, logic would dictate that they sense a need for something like this. So tell us about the genesis of the idea of having this football workshop.
Yeah, great question. I've done some stuff with them in the past, just personally as a professor. You know, I'm a former college basketball coach, so I've done some stuff on Twitter and X, did something when we made the transition to Sunbelt Conference, talking about that a little bit. Obviously, NIL, some different things of that nature. But just they try to keep some things involved with sports with them. A lot of things they do are not sports related, but they still like to have a presence with that. We know how huge Southern Miss is in this city, community, how big it is. You mentioned a retirement deal. The other part I'll add real quick, they haven't announced it, but they're going to have a second part of this for the James Madison game, which is October 26th. That's an away game, but Ollie's also going to host a kind of a tailgate watch party here in Hattiesburg. So that was one thing. Jim Siders is obviously working on that part too. So Ollie kind of brought us together to kind of bring those two together. So this kind of be a preview, get to hear the players, build up the season, go watch some games at M.M. Roberts Stadium, cheer them on, and then obviously that'll be our first time to play James Madison, I believe, Dema, obviously in the Sun Belt. That's a road game, but they're going to, at Ollie, have a tailgate watch party that day for these fans or any fans to come out there and kind of make it, I guess, a mini M.M. Roberts Stadium.
Well, it would seem like to me that the next logical step would be an Ollie road trip to, you know, a Sun Belt game on the road, whether it's South Al or someplace close or maybe far away, you know.
That sounds like a plan for sure. I guess, obviously, this year Monroe's the closest and Troy's the closest, but really plays into play, obviously, every other year to South Alabama. But you could get a rotation there and get that going for sure.
Okay, again, it's the USM Football Preview presented by Ollie. That's the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute on the campus at Southern Miss. You can log on at Ollie, O-L-L-I, at USM.edu, or you can call 601-266, and that's the university prefix, right? You know, if it's a 266 number, it's going to be a Southern Miss number. 266-6554, and the preview scheduled for Thursday, August 22nd, and Bob, for us old guys, it's a 2:00 start in the afternoon, so we can still watch Judge Judy and get our nap in, and we'll still be good.
The nap is the most important part to me, yeah. As long as I can get that in.
Or we can move your show down there, and right when you finish, you go live there.
Oh, yeah. Hey, well, there's another idea.
Well, thank you for coming, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys, Bob and Kelly. Really appreciate you having us on.
Real quick, we got about a minute left. What is the biggest rule that people do not understand?
It's a great question. I think the biggest one, and Dema's here can help me this. I think the biggest one is obviously confusing now is when you go to overtime. They've changed a lot of those things over time. I think it was a Texas A&M LSU game that went to the 8 overtime. So, yeah, 2 overtimes, you can kick. If you score a touchdown, you can kick or go for 2. After that, you have to always go score. But I think it's the 4th or the 5th one that you have to basically, they just line up on the 2.5-yard line. After 2, it's one play. It's one play and go. And so I think you don't see it a whole lot, but it goes back to, I believe, the LSU A&M game a few years ago was 8 overtime. So you think about it, you play the whole game, you're right there, and you can get down to, you got one play. If I stop you and I go score another end, we win.
Well, if you can also figure out targeting so all of us could understand it, Chris, that would be helpful.
Good luck on that one, right?
Chris, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate you helping us out.
All right, when we come back, Bob Chesney, we've been promoting it. We're going to have it. Head football coach at JMU, the new head football coach, we should have. Something you only hear right here on the Eagle Hour. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right. Thanks to Chris Croft for joining us. He's a pretty energetic guy.
And there's plenty to talk about.
Yeah. No, we really appreciate him being here and a great interview. This segment of the show is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill right there in the shadow of the rock where the big game is always on the TV and the food is always good. And yes, Kelly, as Coach Hall now knows, there's always a cold Pabst Blue Ribbon waiting for you at 4th Street Bar and Grill.
And you know what? I'm not sure, Bob, really, that any other place in town serves PBR, honestly.
Well, they should.
Well, there you go. But I'm just saying, if you've we're getting on the PBR bandwagon here, 4th Street, you know you
like our friends at Mobe Beignet Company. I would think that would be a great thing to add. A couple beignets, cold PBR, some strawberry topping. Come on.
Cold pizza, four-day-old, you know, whatever.
Mobe Beignets at 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Check out their Facebook page. And better off, check out their delicious beignets. I want to get to this, guys. Bob Chesney is the head football coach at JMU. Before we get this, and let's do this pretty quickly, I'll start with you, Dima. I'm really impressed with James Madison. They just win at everything they do. What is the secret? Why do you think they're so competitive?
I really don't know. You wouldn't think that way from a team who just got into D1, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And you could argue the last 2 years they weren't eligible for the Sun Belt Championship game, but they should have been in both games.
No question.
So for football, and then their baseball's, it's not like terrific, but it's not bad. It's not a bad baseball program, you know. And then their basketball, man, good night. Their women's and men's. I mean,
really
both.
Good.
Didn't they
really
both good. Make the tournament this year? So just crazy.
What's the secret, Kelly?
They are bow-legged with money.
Is that it?
That's a big one.
they have tons of resources. Can certainly make things better.
Oh, well, it sure don't hurt, does it?
It doesn't.
All right, well, Bob Chesney's the new head football coach. He comes over from Holy Cross, and here's what he says about his new gig.
Well, Coach Chesney, not only your first year at James Madison, but you're going to get a look at the Golden Eagles of Southern Miss at your place. Mm-hmm. I know you got a lot of other things before then, but let's talk about your team. First of all, your punch list when you first took the job, some things you wanted to get done right away.
Build a roster. I think that we're living in a moment in time where there has never been more roster volatility than before, right? And on top of it, we lost 55 guys. So we had to bring in 64 new guys to fill this roster. So immediately it was about talent, our ability to acquire this talent, first identify it, and then acquire it, and then develop it. And then on top of that, that's on the personal side of things, there becomes then this level of how do we gel them together? How do we bring them together as a team? Because 64 new guys, right, now you got a problem, right? And the problem you got is how much are they gonna play together? How willing are they to play together? So if we only spent time talking about football, we didn't spend time in the community. We didn't spend time developing them as people. We didn't spend time getting our alums involved and getting the community involved and getting us out. You would have had not a whole lot, I don't think. So I think that in that short period of time, that last semester, we gave back over 500 hours of community service, which is a huge number. But that were things that we were trying to do. So not only to help the community, but also to help us grow and get to know each other off the field. So that was a big thing. So the punch list was first identify, then acquire, then develop this talent, but then make sure it gels together properly.
All right, you talk about identifying talent, and it's one thing to identify talent, with all due respect, guys that can play at Holy Cross, but it's probably a little bit different than identifying talent that can play at the level of James Madison. I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't do what you do. So how do you go about distinguishing guys that can play at James Madison as opposed to guys at Holy Cross?
So I think define that, because guys playing at James Madison, the guys that were all conference and all everything, were FCS recruits a year ago, right? Or 2 years ago when they first got there. And I think that's a little bit different. Some were walk-on FCS players that came in there. I think, you know, Holy Cross, we had 9 guys go to the NFL, 1 drafted last year. Right? James Madison hasn't done that in the past couple
A Bengal,
years.
If I'm not mistaken.
No, ended no? up, no, he was a Chief.
Okay, no, yeah. Maybe there was a guy with the Bengals, I think, from anyway.
Yeah. Well, we have our Mark Duffner, the old linebacker, or old head coach, is a linebacker's coach there now with the Bengals. But ultimately, right, so we had 9 guys go to the league. We ended up in a situation where we beat UConn, we beat Buffalo, we lost by 3 to BC and Army a year ago. So we were as close to an FBS program as you were going to get. We had a kid that was with Carolina right now, a kid with the Giants right now. Like, there were guys on that team that could play at this level, right? And if they went and did a grad school year, they would have played at this level. We have 2 now, an offensive lineman at Michigan State, another one at Duke from that same team, and the quarterback's out at UNLV. So these are things that, like, that we've been doing this. We have not been playing with an FCS roster and only been playing FCS ball, right? We've been recruiting nationally to find these guys. Now, we certainly had some handcuffs as far as the academics were concerned. So some of that loosened up a little bit, where we're able to get into some transfers, we're able to get into a junior college kid or two. Not a lot, but a couple. We're able to do some things a little bit differently that I had experience before at Assumption College with, but haven't in the past 6 years when we were at Holy Cross. So that was ultimately what we were trying to put ourselves in position to be able to do, is how do we identify that talent that can play at this level, right? And at the same point in time, what did we have? What walked out the door? How do we get better? That's really what we're talking about.
So you're still kind of in your infancy, obviously, in your tenure at JMU, but what do you like about your team initially, and what's keeping you up at night a little?
So I think the uncertainty right now of in-game, like what does that look like? And my job is to try to figure out how do we push these limits as hard as we possibly can so I get a true understanding of who they are when things go their way or don't go their way, most importantly. I'm going to perceive you how you're going to allow me to perceive you in this moment, right? You're going to perceive me how I'm going to allow you to perceive me. But who am I really when this stuff ain't going right, right? Who is our team really when it ain't going? I know what they're like physically. I know what they're capable of physically. I want to know what they're like psychologically when it's not going their way, right? That's what I care about at this moment. And that we have to test and fire as we get in here to preseason camp and put them in that pressure cooker as much as we possibly can so that we could succeed and fail long before the game's ever on the line.
But considering you have all these new guys, and I know all these preseason mumbo jumbo is for entertainment and all that.
Yes.
Again, all due respect, but I was a little surprised that you guys are seeing so much love in the preseason, considering you have so many new guys. Are you?
I think, right, that if you did a poll of these coaches here then and you said vote for the teams, you know, for this year, I'll bet you they took last year's, you know, rankings, put that on a piece of paper and send it in. I know that's what we did. So to me, I don't know who's on these teams yet, right? They don't know who's on our team just
yet.
Well,
and because of the roster flux.
Yeah, that's right. So I think that's really it. The most meaningless stat in all of college football is preseason rankings. Only second to halftime scores of a football game. So when we go into halftime, we don't go, oh man, we're winning, this is great. That's the second most meaningless stat in all of college football. The first one is preseason rankings. I could care less what people voted us at this moment. What I care about is, what are our standards? What are we going to do tomorrow? How are we going to get better as a football program each and every day?
Well, our Golden Eagles are going to make the trip to see you guys, one of the Eastern Division crossovers. And really, when you talk about traditions in football, particularly, James Madison, Southern Miss, I'm sure even in the Northeast, even the Blue Bloods up at Holy Cross have heard about Southern Miss.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Yep. And I think to James Madison's point as well, right? So I'm coming from where I spent 6 years in Baltimore, you know, we're an hour up the road and had, or 2 hours up the road, and had a chance to recruit a lot of these same areas. So I think these are two powerhouse programs that have a lot of history, a lot of pride, a lot of community support, a lot of, again, just straight up history. I think it'd be an exciting day when you guys come to town.
Well, Coach, we hope you win every game except one.
And yeah, you're probably saying it to all these guys too.
Yeah, no, that, yeah, and that's right. I believe that. But I know you're a right fit for James Madison. Nothing but the best.
Thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
All right, Kelly, I'm going to tell you, very impressed. First time I've heard from that coach. I can see why they hired him just hearing that.
Yeah, really charismatic, lights up a room. And of all the coaches, and this is not at all downplaying the other ones, really cerebral. This guy is a deep thinker. And you would, you know, I guess there would be that natural thing of coming from the Northeast, playing in the Ivy League and around, that you're going to be a pretty smart guy. But this guy goes beyond any coach I've ever met as far as thinking things out, and he wants thinking football players.
Yeah, you know, Dima, other than being sent maybe to Appalachian State, you know, when you look at your two games from the other side of the league, what could be any tougher than getting sent to James Madison?
Yeah, I mean, you knew it was eventually coming. They had to take that trip, or James Madison coming to Hattiesburg, because, you know, they've played Coastal, Georgia State now, a couple of those crossover teams. They hadn't played James Madison or Marshall yet. So,
and we get Marshall here.
They get Marshall in Hattiesburg. So you knew it was coming this year. They were going to play James Madison. You just kind of crossed your fingers and hope you had to go to Marshall instead of James Madison.
But he makes such a great point. 70 new players. How in the world can anybody predict what's going to happen with this kind of turnover?
I like what he said, that it was is more meaningless than halftime stats. That
I
was pretty funny.
I think that was a great point. Yeah, I mean, I think this is ridiculous the more we learn about this.
And I think it kind of plays into Southern Miss's favor.
I think you're right.
That very few people are expecting this team to do anything.
I think, and we're the ones that didn't lose anybody.
Right. So what in the world? And that's what I was just saying. If that's your barometer, how in the world can Southern Miss be picked?
Well, that's the quote of the week. The only thing more useless than preseason polls are halftime scores. I think that just says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, that one at the end of the game is a pretty important one.
That probably matters a little more.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to thank you, Genesis of Hattiesburg, for their sponsorship of our program, the official auto dealer of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today, as is their new, all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Beautiful, beautiful facility. All right, when we come back, Dima may have some news for us to kind of clean things up, finish the Monday edition of our program. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us on a Monday afternoon as we broadcast from the Southern Bancorp Studio here in Hattiesburg. DBAT sponsors this segment of the show. Great place for baseball, softball training. Great place to get some expert analysis and training of your game. And Kelly, you're an old baseball coach. Great facility. We're lucky to have it here.
And you know who needs to go there, Bob, in the worst way? The Chicago White Sox.
I saw that. 20 straight losses.
Can you imagine? What are the statistical odds that players of that caliber would lose 20 consecutive games?
Yeah, you would expect that out of the Detroit Tigers, not the Chicago White Sox.
We're just so thankful that they're in our division.
That's one team the Tigers can beat, isn't it?
If there was homecoming for baseball, we would schedule the White Sox.
Hey, Town & Country Cleaners is family-owned and operated. They've been in Hattiesburg since 1983. They offer great services like steam pressing, shirt laundry, minor alterations, dry cleaning, and bulky bedding. Most orders can be picked up the same day as they're dropped off. That's impressive. You can visit Town & Country Cleaners at a convenient location across from USM on Hardy Street, or you can call them at 601-264-4920. All right, Dima Mixon cleans up the show every day with news and notes from Southern Miss. Go ahead, Dima.
Yeah, so we mentioned on Friday about Landon Harper and his insane run of scoreless baseball. That continued last night with the Mississippi Braves. His scoreless streak is now 25 and a third inning for Landon Harper, and with another shutout inning in the top of the ninth yesterday.
And, Bob, if I'm not mistaken, he started that tear.
But we had him on the show.
That's right.
I take full credit for it.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that we're good luck for Landon Harper.
We gave him his nickname. We inspired him, and I hope he remembers us when he makes the big time.
Yeah, so and next in the college football world was the coaches poll of for the top 25 came out this week. You have to go, Kelly, 10 spots down to not find an SEC or Big Ten team other than Notre Dame. So you got number one, Georgia, two, Ohio State, three, Oregon, four, Texas, five, Bama, six, Ole Miss, Notre Dame at seven, Michigan, Penn State, and then Florida State rounds out the top 10. So that's 10 spots where you don't have a Big Ten or SEC team.
And Oregon, the proverbial overrated team every year, you know, Oregon.
Them and Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But you see, it sets up the echo chamber perfectly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, number two plays number four. If number four wins, it's a great win. They beat number two. But for number two, it's not a bad loss because it was only number four, and so all the SEC and Big Ten teams stay in the top.
Yeah, they get to go to the playoffs no matter how many games they lose.
Doesn't matter.
If there's such thing as a quality loss, that would be a quality loss. Right. Right?
And so there's no Group of Five team in the top 25 in the preseason coaches poll of 2025. So this isn't the AP preseason poll. This is the coaches poll. And so the race for the playoff spot, wide open, I think, between several teams. And, I mean, there could be a Sun Belt team in there as well.
Yeah.
And then I mentioned earlier in this show that Southern Miss, from a source on my end, would have the Chandler Pittman one-handed circus-handed catch on social media soon.
There we go.
And it is out, and you can view
there
it.
We go.
You can also view me in the background if you want to see me as well. Nobody
that's,
probably
that's
wants to see that.
That's why I'm pulling it up
that's
as
what
soon
I'm saying.
As I get off the air.
See Diva Mixon in the background with my pin
there we
to
go.
My mouth.
There
I think Forest County Law Enforcement would like some video of that as well.
I don't want to dig up old skeletons and bring them out of the closet, but what Dima just said about the top 25, time to split them up, Kelly. Time to split them up.
Well, we
call up Luke Johnson.
We're told we're told so many times it's just a matter of time, you know.
It's time.
But I will say this. You know, Ole Miss is up there. You know, just because you're tired of Georgia and Alabama, and if somebody has to challenge
us, refreshing.
Yeah, I you know.
I'm so sick of Georgia and Alabama, I could just scream. Kind of refreshing to see a team like Ole Miss in the top 10.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's probably the highest I've probably seen them in a preseason ranking in a while.
They're going to be good, brother.
Yeah, yeah,
they
got a lot of returning production.
Really good. Yeah.
And they get Georgia at home. They get them in Vaught Hemingway.
Yeah.
And Dima, just learn from your colleague, your predecessor, the super intern. Don't wear any LSU clothes.
Yeah, you remember that.
Well, I remember that. He was employed with us as well, and we remember that very well.
He took a beating, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
His reputation never completely recovered from that.
He had to leave town, as a matter of fact. Still working in the media, but out of town.
All right, Damon, real quick, what are we expecting at football practice this week? Where do you see him trying to get to?
Yeah, so full pads come on tomorrow. So we're going to see hitting. We're going to see
tackling
to the ground. Will Hall was very clear on that after practice. You're going to see him to the ground is what he said. So so that was that's my Will Hall impression. But
I don't think Rich Little has anything to worry about, does he?
But they're going to be tackling this week. And then Saturday is the practice that's going to be the most interesting. That's going to be the first scrimmage. So it's going to be 11-on-11 scrimmaging. We had the guy on earlier last week where he talked about that's a – or rather, we maybe just mentioned it. That's a to-the-top collective exclusive that you can go and watch practice for that. It's a scrimmage. That's going to be full 11-on-11. I think you'll get a good idea of the quarterback situation there.
Us low-life media types, are we invited to the scrimmage on Saturday?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was Jerry DeFatta. Of the Alumni Association.
And that's at 11 o'clock?
Yes.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Oh, and it's at 7:15.
Huh?
A.M.
What?
7:15.
Practice.
In the morning?
Oh, yeah.
The scrimmage is at 7:15 in the morning?
Practice.
No, you're talking about tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, when is the scrimmage?
Oh, on Saturday?
Yeah.
It's going to be the same time as every other practice, so either 7:15 or 8:15.
On Saturday?
Yeah.
Bob just can't get over that, can he?
All right, back with more tomorrow. Southern Miss
to the top. Keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.